don't have to repeat. Huh?
Maybe repeat.
Oh, okay. I explain it again. Huh? Okay. If you come to understand that anger is not you, okay? Because it's conditionalizing, correct or not? Yeah, before you get angry, yeah? It comes through one of the three very strong sense doors, right? Either through what you see or what you hear, yeah? Or what you recall to memory, understand or not? Your unhappy past or whatever. So, the moment you have this wrong view, you will react. Because this conditioning of mind will cause you to react and become unhappy. Or the anger come to be. The moment you understand that anger is not you, because they are conditioned arising through your wrong view, then you can resolve it easily. But human beings' problem is they never understood this. To them is, I should not get angry. Anger is an evil root. I'm a Buddhist. I'm a cultivator. I must not have anger. Because the moment I have anger means I fail. Understand? Because you're supposed to keep your precept. Understand? You're supposed to be mindful not to allow all these unwholesome thoughts to arise. Even when they arise, you're supposed to arise the right effort to abandon them. Understand? So there are five ways that the Buddha teach to abandon unwholesome thought. Then later on, when you are mindful, you can prevent it from arising. That's why right effort got two. Right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen. The other one is the right effort to prevent it from arising. To prevent it from arising means the moment you see that thing again, because last time you get angry, you immediately stir. Then now you reflect, you contemplate. Then you understood where it went wrong, like the Buddha said under Dhammanupassana. First category of cultivation, mindfulness of the five hindrances. You come to know how the unarisen anger come to be, due to your wrong view. So what must you do? Yeah? Contemplative wisdom is second turning, isn't it? Chintamaya panya, isn't it? So you must straighten your view, isn't it? So you inquire, how can I straighten my view? How can I attend to this particular sense experience the next time when I confront it again? You remember last Friday? The clang talk? Was it last Friday? Huh? Sabba Asvak Sutta. It's in the note. Oh, we don't have that time. Maybe next week I will do it. Sabba Asvak Sutta. The sutta on all the defilement. Asvak. Defilements. Asana. The first category of cultivation, the Buddha said, is right attention. You must only pay attention to things that are fit for attention. Understand? If you pay attention to things that are not fit for attention, then the asava, the unarisen one, will arise. The arisen one will multiply. Understand? Yeah. Whereas if you pay attention to things that are fit for attention, the arisen asava cease to be. The unarisen asava cannot arise. And the Buddha teach, what are the things that are fit for attention? The Four Noble Truths and its three turning. The five daily contemplation, which is also a product of the second turning, and as of the Four Noble Truths wisdom. So all these are contemplative wisdom for you to develop, to understand clearly and to straighten your view, understand? When you attend to all this, then it brings about wisdom, understanding, right view. Then you will not be deluded. Then there is no more sakayadity, no more ignorance, no more avijja. But when you pay attention to things that are not fit for attention, it's just like when you see it with the wrong view, anger arises, unarisen asava arises. Then the arisen asava multiplies. When you recall, you get more angry. Your last time you really thought about it, this guy did all these things to me. The next time I see him, I'm going to make him suffer. Or you want to take revenge and all that. So all this which you have already planned early on in a negative sense, immediately they will just arise. And they will proliferate very fast. So how do you straighten your view to overcome all this? If I know that this is a wrong view, that has conditioned this mind to stir and arise the anger. So I come to understand how the unarisen hindrance come to be. How do I reverse it? With this understanding, I have to straighten my view. Means I must learn to accept things as they are, with the Four Noble Truths. Especially the Fourth Noble Truth, Noble Eightfold Path. I must have right view. Right view in regards to what? Law of Karma. Understand now? Law of Karma say what? You are born on your karma, heir to your karma, condition is supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. You cannot blame anybody for what your mind state is. So this negative tendency, obviously, they have a lot to do with karma. So because you have this wrong view, you have this anger and hatred towards this particular person because you perceive him with negativity, understand? That's why you have a problem, understand? So the Buddha said, this is a wrong view that you should actually come to understand. If there are causes and conditions behind, because whatever that arises, the Buddha said there are causes and conditions, and mainly due to karma, because we reap what we sow. If you have caused other people emotional suffering, negativity and all those things, so this life when you come, you can become the victim, understand? Some other people will make you angry and miserable, understand? Depend on your intensity that you make people angry and miserable, understand? Like you treat your spouse in the past life. This life you come, you become the victim, understand? Somebody else will ill-treat you, understand? Like they threaten to divorce you and all those things. Now you say, why my husband like that? Huh? You blame him. But in the past when you did to another lady, you never complained, understand? That lady suffer miserable. So when you understand there is this karma, you have to have right view to accept them for what they are. Then you need to ask for forgiveness and repent. You ask for forgiveness and repent. Not necessarily from that person. You follow the chanting book. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, if I have caused them any karmic negativity, suffering, misery or misled, I sincerely ask for forgiveness. And I vow not to repeat this. Then I determine to actually reflect, contemplate and wish them all well-being and happiness so that all this karmic negativity or repercussion can be mitigated and cease. Then after that, you do what you have to do on yourself. You have to learn to see things as they are and accept them for what they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people say angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. They are just the way they are. Why can't I accept them for what they are? So that I can be at peace. Why can't I forgive them and free myself? With this contemplative wisdom and right view, there is no more anger. There is no more delusion. Because otherwise, you continue to do this in future life, you take the opposite role. Then you change side. And this karmic negativity will continue, understand? That's why you have to cease them all. Ask for forgiveness, repent, forgive and forget and free yourself. Then accept everything in this world as the way it is. Because causes and conditions is already there. It has to be like that, it has to be like that. You cannot change. You want to change? This moment, introduce new condition, understand? Means do not stir your mind. Do not react. Follow the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil. Do good. Purify your mind. How to avoid all evil? By not reacting. By not creating negativity. By not arising any evil roots. That's why you have to train your mind. Cultivate spiritual faculty to be heedful, to be aware. So all this understanding will come. Then once you straighten your view, the next time you see, you will know how to be at peace because you will have to accept them for what they are. Then you will have love and compassion. Pity them, for they know not what is going on. They don't understand the nature's law that governs all of life and existence. That's why they still have emotion, anger, delusion. That's why they behave like that. They irritate people. they arise condition that can bring about what they call karmic negativity, understand? Then like argument, misunderstanding, conflict, war, and all those things. So people who are difficult to be with, or people whom you don't like, or your enemy or whatever, you should try to forgive them, understand? You should try to accept them for what they are, and be at peace with them, and have love, and be loved. Then when you straighten your views and understand all this, then the next time when you perceive the same situation, your mind is different. You not only does not stir, does not react, and doesn't allow the mind to actually arise the mental hindrance or wrong thought, you actually able to develop the wisdom and the understanding to have love and compassion for them. Understand? If it's not because of ignorance, they will not be like that. Then you forgive them. Then you wish them well-being and happiness. May they be well and happy. So your mind state can actually become so different. Then when you perceive every life situation and every person with wholesomeness, there is no suffering. Understand? There is no negativity. Because everything can turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Understand? If I have not met these difficult people, this difficult person, I cannot test myself, understand? My cultivation cannot be tested, understand? There is no way I can know whether I have progressed or not. Then you have this love and gratitude. Thank you so much. Because of you, I learned so much. Understand? I know I still don't have this perfection yet. That's why my view are not perfectly straightened yet. You can feel one inside, still got one. But much less with it. Not like last time, immediately, sometimes want to fight, become violent. Not only anger, no, become transgression, no, you want to act out of it here. Then abusive word, you want to come out. Oh, that is the worst. The three stages of defilement. Means not only at thought level, no, it becomes emotional, you know, then you want to act out it, through your action and speech. So these are transgression, really. If you can't even see with mindfulness and awareness and understand all this and arise all the appropriate wisdom and understanding to reverse them, then you will forever stir your mind and develop all this unwholesomeness. Understand? So you have to straighten your view. Then the next time when you confront them, you will have the right understanding not to react, not to stir, but not through a control or a suppression. As a lot of people, they suppress their anger. No, I must not get angry. Anger is an evil root. So, yan. Actually, you suppress. No point. Because this will bottle out. Then one day, like they say, if they test you until your limit is up, you will explode, I tell you. Especially some Dharma friend, one of them, we always tease her. You step on her tail, she will jump one. Because she got certain thing very sensitive one. You cannot talk about one. Oh, the moment you bring it out, only you can away from her already. Because she has that very strong conditioning in view. She will never agree with anybody in this world the moment that topic is brought out. So when you have very fixed view, like the Buddha said, you hold on to your views tenaciously in the Salika Sutta. No? There are 45, I think. Wrong view. This one is the worst, is it? If you hold on to your view tenaciously, the wrong view, then even the Sammasambuddha cannot help you. It's stated in there. But that is the last one. You hold on to your view tenaciously, nobody can help you. Even Sammasambuddha also cannot help you. Because when your view is wrong, nobody can help you. When you refuse to change, and you refuse to change, you will forever be conditioned by that wrong view to react and to become miserable and to be afflicted. So Dhamma is like that. So when you understand already, you will have the wisdom to straighten your view and you will know how to change over to a new way of living. Then when you are more and more mindful, more and more heedful, with the right understanding, with the right view, with the Dhamma, then you act according to right view and right understanding, follow the Buddha Dhamma. You don't act according to memory. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. You know why or not? What is memory? The accumulation of all your experiences, good and bad. Your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your jealousy, your insecurity, your craving, your desire, your lust, they are all accumulated inside there. So you act according to this. How can you act? You act out of fear. You act out of selfishness, out of emotional negativity. This is all wrong action. You have to act with right view, right understanding. What are the right views? Law of karma, dependent origination, law of the mind, dwelling, how your mind works, paticca samuppada, how avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnanam paccaya nama rupam, and how it conditions the rest of the link to bring about suffering. Then the last right view is about dhamma, niyama, which is the Four Noble Truth. When you have right view with regards to the Four Noble Truth, when you cultivate the three turning, you develop great wisdom. This is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. When you understand the Four Noble Truths, they are truth that can make you noble ones. That's why they are called noble truth. Understand that? Noble ones are enlightened ones. That's why Arya Satcha. Aryas are enlightened beings, noble beings. So Arya Satcha are noble truth, truth that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. So when you have right view with regards to the Four Noble Truths, means what? You know what is suffering. You know the cause of its arising. That's why you can manage your life already. When you know what suffering is and how it arises, you will know how to mitigate it. Then the Buddha actually teach you how to do it. He said, suffering need not be if you have wisdom. The Third Noble Truth clearly point out that enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. Then there is a path that leads to the end of all suffering, namely Noble Eightfold Path. And this is the meditation. And Noble Eightfold Path starts with right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort to train yourself, then right mindfulness and samadhi. And these are all the path factors that you need to live life. To live life, you must have right view with regards to the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why without right view, you cannot live. Then when you have right view, only you can arise the right thought, right speech, right action. But in life, you need to communicate. You need to have speech, communication. You need to act. You need to live. That's why right living. You need to arise your thought. That's why you need all these tools. Right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then you must have right effort to constantly purify your thought process. Then right effort to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness leading to enlightenment. Then right effort to cultivate the right samadhi, fulfilling the Noble Eightfold Path factor. And then it will bring about the enlightenment in the here and the now that the Buddha spoke and taught. So all this are in the teaching, and it's very easy to understand. You only need to reflect, contemplate, and get it understood. Then when you understand, you start to straighten your view. Then you start to transform and change. Personality-wise, character-wise, all will be transformed. But as you develop right speech, right action, and right thought, and right livelihood, you become very beautiful on yourself. Your speeches are very gentle, very pleasant, full of understanding. All of your actions are very beautiful, very wholesome. All of your thoughts are right thought, no wrong thought, no more unwholesome thought, no more of the negativity. That's why you become a blessing to all. You are very noble in every aspect of life. Oh, 10:30 already. We have to end. Okay. So if you got any more questions, maybe remind me next Tuesday. I will talk about the Sabbasava Sutta, this note. Try to bring them next Thursday. Bring this note. Then after that, we break for 3 weeks. Not so fast. or two Thursday, yeah. Christmas and New Year Eve, huh? I remember. Sian text me, huh? Christmas is on Thursday, you know. The English calendar, 1st of January, also on Thursday. So you got 2 weeks of good rest. So this year we are very lucky. Okay, does that answer your question? You got another question, I don't know you want to ask. Can. This will be put on the WhatsApp. Or you can register your email with that one, MyKayanaMita. It will be sent to that web link. You send one blank email. You send your email to this blank email to this link, then you will be registered automatically. Then you will receive all the recording, everything. Or you send. You just silent. Then it will cease to be. Then when it ceases to be, means what? Your original state of mind is already the meditative state. Silence, stillness.
Yes, before that, you mentioned that you don't acknowledge it, is it? You acknowledge it
is a thought. Mental noting. You don't go and note. That's all. The mental noting is thought. Thought is energy. So like you not rising, falling, you put energy there, and thought is active. The moment thought is active, you cannot be mindful. There is no sati. Sati is awareness before the knowing, before the perception, before the thought, before the words, before the labeling. Yeah, see is correct, the word see, but direct seeing without the thought. Not see with the thought, with the conditioned mind. When you see with the conditioned mind, you're not seeing. You are reacting to what you see because your views, your opinion is so strong. How can you see? This thought is conditioning you to react. You are not seeing. Seeing means what? Seeing means aware, silent, without thought. And then allow the phenomena to tell you the story. Then you will see the phenomena's movement, the change, the transformation. But your mind is silent. It's just aware. Just like this anger. How it slows down everything. I use word to describe to you. But when I feel it and aware, no words are enough. That nature understand how this emotion cease to be. Where this is conditioned arising state. That's why sankara anicchang. The moment you hold and cling sankara dukkang, suffering will arise. And because they are impermanent, anicchang, it is anatta, not a permanent and changing entity. Dependent on condition, it arises. Where supporting condition is there, it will stay there. That's why you silent and don't allow it to proliferate. Then there is no more mental energy, then it will cease to be. The analogy that J. Krishnamurti gave is like a flower. The flowering of thought is the ending of that thought. You understand? Flower means what? When the flower already flower until you cannot flower anymore, means no more mental energy, it will wither there. Then it will cease to be there. So allow the thought to flower. Understand? Allow the anger and the emotion to flower. Flower until no more thought energy, it will cease to be. Like the flower, it will wither off. Understand? That's why the very flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought. That thought can be anger, emotion, envy, jealousy, wrong thought. Because the Buddha already said in the Sabbasavasutta, the destruction of what they call asava, which is a defilement, can only happen in one who see, or who know and see. Means you must have wisdom. Because the Buddha, in the same sutta, continue. He who sees, he who knows and see, can actually deal with the defilement. So destruction of asava cannot happen in one who does not know and does not see. Know is understanding, wisdom. Seeing is direct seeing. You don't have the wisdom and the direct seeing, you cannot. Then the Buddha said, knows what and see what. Knows and see with wisdom. Yoniso manasikara. Wise attention. So wise attention, wisdom must be there first. Without wisdom, you cannot stop at feeling. You cannot cut at feeling. Your feeling will be conditioned into craving. Yeah, that's why you cannot cut a feeling. So you don't try to do the thought-based meditation foolishly, trying to control and suppress. Trying not to react inside that. Cannot. Without wisdom, you cannot cut. Without wisdom, the mind will stir. That's why you have to do the three turning. First turning, proclamation of truth, develop the understanding. You cannot understand, reflect, contemplate, and inquire into it, and develop the chintamaya panya. Then after that, do the meditative one, the direct seeing, to arise the third turning wisdom, bhavana maya panya. First hearing is sutta maya panya. So these three turning correspond to the three type of wisdom. When they arise, then you have yoniso manasikara. Then when you have yoniso manasikara, you have understanding, you have wisdom. Then this is born of direct seeing, where you have insight in the phenomena. You have understood why all of phenomena has three characteristics of impermanence, leading to suffering and non-self. And the moment you understand, then you are not deluded anymore. Then thought got no power over you. Defilement got no more power over you. Then when your spiritual faculty is there, the hindrance got no power over you. So actually you don't have to do anything. That's why the real meditation is not doing anything. Silent. That's why every time I tell you, develop the silent mind, don't try to know when you make the meditation. That is the real meditation. Because your original state of mind is silent. If you don't know that and you go and use your thought to meditate and actively noting and thinking, you ask yourself, how can you be aware? How can you develop the wisdom in the day? Because this thought is so conditioned, so egoic. Your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your fear, your insecurity, everything is accumulated in your brain. And with this memory and this brain and this conditioning, you want to act. You cannot act. Why must you acknowledge? Who acknowledge? The thought acknowledge, understand or not? Who acknowledge? The thought acknowledge. Who knows? The thought knows. The mind is the thought. Understand? The true mind is not the thought. The true mind got no words on. It's just aware. It cannot come out on. But if you are not silent, your mind cannot detect it. That's why your mind is busy thinking. Not recognize. Another thought recognize. It's not the mind, right? When you are aware, when the awareness is with the anger, it's not a thought noting another thought. You all note one, it's all thought noting another thought. Understand? Note rising, falling, standing, intending. All these are thought noting thought. Understand? It's not awareness, not sati. The sati, when it's with it, no words one. That's why the Buddha is standing, aware. Aware means what? The awareness and the body as one, inside. When you walk, body and mind as one, inside. No word one. No, nothing, intention to walk. Then lifting, what are you doing? I don't know. You're creating more thought, understand? And when thought is active, how can you be aware? How can you develop sati? That's why it's impossible. We better end. we will continue. You write your question now. Okay, we'll do the sharing of merits. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika ปุญญังตังอะนุโมทิตวาจิรังรักขันตุโลกสาสนะ May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer all merits to departed one, and those who can receive them. Idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatina hotu. Hontunyatayo. Let these merits accrue to departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Now we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo satakalena sasa sampatihito ca fito bhavatu loko ca Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be more peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep the respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Yeah? There we end.